Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Coming at you live from Heritage Radio Network. Today is Monday, February 22nd. I'm one of your hosts, Jacqueline Raposo. I write about people who make food. You can find my work and me as wordsfoodart.com. I'm 34, straight, and single.
And I am your other host, Ben Rosenblatt. I am an actor, writer, musician, occasional bartender, and server. You can check me out at benrosenblattactor.com. I am 33, straight, and still single, Jacqueline.
Still single. For our second segment today, we're going to be joined by Leyte Sue, a journalist, fellow heritage host, and industry culinary connector. We're going to chat Leyte up about how her constant travels and work social mixing help and harm her dating life.
Harm.
I'm making some assumptions based on personal experience, maybe. But before we get to that, we are once again blessed to have a beautiful wine sponsor for our show today.
Mm.
Ooh, so today our Gruet comes, it's a Brut in the Champagne method, made by a French family in New Mexico. So Ben is taking a sip right now. Does it taste, I haven't sipped it yet. Does it taste like champagne? It's supposed to taste like champagne.
It does.
Let me see, hold on a second. Oh, I love the bubbles.
Yeah.
They're very soft, delightful bubbles.
If you didn't tell me that it wasn't champagne, I
would not have known.
It was.
It retails for $17.99, and it was sent to us by a really cool website, Farm to People, which is a relatively new in my world, online specialty market, which delivers local, small-batched, artisanal makers and their products to your front door.
Very cool. I'd never heard of that.
Neither had I before. And it's a really beautiful site, so I was scoping it out for a while. It's by a father and son duo. They have chocolates and baked goods and sweets and meats and cheeses and pickles and sauces and body care. Oh,
I just want it all right now.
Some of my favorite products are there. They are. There's nothing artificial. There are no GMOs, humanely raised stuff. It's really awesome. And recently they've partnered with Flatiron Wines and Spirits in New York City. It has the best American grown and produced vintages in the United States. And so that's where this came from. So it's farmtopeople.com.
Very interesting.
Thanks so much for this very beautiful bubbly wine that's putting us in the mood
and
on a Monday.
Tasty.
It's very tasty and very soft.
It's
very
light
tiny,
and refreshing.
Tiny bubbles.
I know. It's
make
just
me
what
warm
I need
all
right
over,
now, actually.
I think somebody on the Muppets sang. Tiny bubbles. It's my new favorite champagne drinking song.
Wait, who's saying that?
Make me well. I don't know. I'm having my sister. Well, no, Jessica, if you're listening, you have to text us, text or tweet us with that. Tiny bubbles make me warm all over.
Is it like
a bath
Gonzo?
Song? No, I don't know. My sister's going to kill me. Anyway, moving on. Moving on.
Hit us with the education.
So, Ben, today before we bring on Leyte in a little bit, I don't know about you, but I had sort of an epiphany over the weekend.
I had an epiphany, so you must have had one.
So, yeah, no,
I had a totally mindless weekend of drinking and, you know, debauchery with my brother and my mom for their birthdays.
Oh, that's nice.
It was really nice.
That's really nice.
It was. But tell me about your epiphany.
I was trying to figure out why I'm a cranky single woman right now. Like, why, like, I'm just not, like...
Would you like the answer? Or would you like to tell me what you figured out? No. You, please, first.
Well, it's because I didn't realize it, but I'm thinking about relationships all the time because of this show. Like, I'm reading a book of an upcoming guest. Her book is coming out in a couple weeks, and last weekend I went to, like, a reading of young women who've written books about relationships, like a la Carrie Bradshaw in a way, for another set of guests who are coming up. And I spent a lot of hours yesterday revamping our website a little bit, trying to sort of organize that and looking at our past guests. And I'm thinking about relationships and dating all the time now. And it's made me realize that, like, it's made me sort of, like, why am I not happy about being single?
So you're, like, just more attuned to the gaping hole in your life that is
No, I feel like, I feel like I didn't know that there was a gaping hole before, that now
right,
everything, all my research
you're thinking
is
about
telling
it all the time.
Me. Exactly. So let's quickly just talk about how this, how is this
So that's my epiphany about why I'm like, why am I so cranky about being single when before it never felt like something that was holding me back from life? And I was like, oh, that's why. It's
You're
also
just
winter.
More conscious of it now.
It's also winter and it's gross. I'm tired a lot, but
and you want like a warm snuggle buddy.
Or I just don't want to have to be reading about warm snuggle buddies.
Yeah.
But so let's talk about how having a dating show and also especially having a public platform for talking about relationships has been affecting us personally. So what's been your sort of biggest learning curve right now as far as what the show has brought to your dating life?
I mean, I don't know that I have like that I know for certain the effect that it's having on other people's view of me. But I will say that like I notice myself having like occasionally just like a cute female new follower on Twitter who like I would not have gotten probably if I, you know, if we'd never, like I noticed they'll have like followed our show handle and then mine as well.
Right.
And probably yours too. So it's like maybe
I don't
not
know,
that
I have
I'm
so
that
many
special.
People who follow me on Twitter. I can't
you do.
Tell where
I,
they come from.
I've got I'm like seven kidding. Followers and like
kidding.
Two tweets. So, but you know, I like notice that every once in a while. So I'm like, all right, like I'm getting some, maybe some more, at least like outward,
well,
you know,
you share
far
the
distant
radio show
attention.
With people too, though. Like when on online dating, like you will tell them what the show is, right?
Yeah. I mean, why would I not?
Because I don't.
Why not?
Because if you know the name of this show, then you can Google my name and I'm all over the internet. And it's just, it's a lot to put out there. And I think I don't Google people before I go on a first date with them. And there's both things that are very personal about me on there. And then there's also things that are very much sort of leaning into the persona you have as a food writer. You know, it's very, a lot of things are very, either very polished that I have to present for clients or just, I don't know, like I feel like we project enough about people on dates that yeah. I don't want to give so much more fodder for somebody to project about who they think I'm going to be when I show up. I just want to be able to walk into the room, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. But then also wouldn't you say that like whatever information is out there about you is real, is honest?
Oh, of course, it's all
and
completely honest.
And so like
honest.
Wouldn't you think that like over time they're going to get to know that anyway, and why not weed out anyone who might be turned off by it?
It's not a matter of being turned off to me. It's a matter of just them having way too much information that's in a way, even though it's me, it's still a secondary source. It's finding me on Cosmopolitan or Tasting Table or the Village Voice or something like that. And I'd rather just have somebody, like we project so much onto each other already. Also, it's a safety thing flat out too. Like we've talked about the sleazy guys online dating that if they know, I don't want to start getting tweets from assholes. Like I have to deal with
right.
that enough.
Or way. Having them like show up here.
Exactly. Like if you know where I am every, you know, Monday at 4 p.m. or, you know, it's just another
good thing.
That's
the address is totally
thing.
Confidential. So.
You know, we're in a bunker somewhere. Yeah. But
well, that's a fair
well,
point.
How does that, So it doesn't bother you that you are more, because of the show, just a little bit more Googleable that people, like you've put some vulnerable blog posts on our
absolutely,
on our
site. And it certainly crosses my mind that people might read that and form an opinion and make a judgment or, you know, come in with whatever preconceived notions they might develop on their own. And yet at the same time, like I said, like I also think that I am a very open book as a person. I'm very vulnerable guy. And so like, I think anyone who's going to date me has to be comfortable with that and know that that's what they're getting into.
Well,
I
want to challenge you a little bit on this because the play that you're working on that you wrote, you were seeing somebody
yeah.
while you were presenting it and you questioned if she should come. And I feel like that's a very, because of its subject matter, which I feel like is very similar. Like somebody can Google you, somebody can listen to the show, but unless I listen to every episode, it's not like there's a huge amount of raw vulnerability. Versus like some of the pieces that I've written, like I've written pieces about losing drastic weight and then gaining it during illness and the issues that I have with that. And like it's mostly my health stuff that I just don't want somebody to sort of read and jump to. You know, the other stuff is sort of whatever. But like the play that you've written, it's very honest and it's got a lot of really dark things. And you were really hesitant about having this woman see it and you chose not to. And I feel like that's sort of on par with what I'm dealing with what's out there on the internet. So
perhaps,
what do you think about that?
Perhaps, although without getting too much into the content of the play, the content of the play is more relevant to dating and to like my love life
mean?
And my sexuality than something about like a physical illness.
I would make sense. Well, your play is about a physical illness in a way.
True, but it's also about sexuality and about.
So are my pieces about dating with an illness?
Yeah, okay, fair.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just think that I think that's more on par with what you would be exposing compared to like the work that's out on the internet for all to see for me.
Yeah, I mean,
well, think about it.
Yeah, I think there's a slight difference to me. But I mean, to your point, yes, I guess there are some things that I don't want to share right away that I would be uncomfortable with, like sharing completely. And yes, so those things aren't there for anyone to see necessarily on the internet. So I guess I don't have that worry about.
I'm curious as
this much
show
as you do,
goes
perhaps,
on.
If there are things that you feel like are out there that you don't feel comfortable with.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm curious as this show goes on, how that changes. Hopefully the more people listen to us and hopefully the more visual the show is out there. I'm curious as to how that will continue to change for both of us. Cause right now it's not like it's not making my dating life worse by any means. It's just making me a lot more aware of how present I am online, which I never growing up would have thought that my world would be sort of Googleable for all to see.
Yeah.
It's something I'm still, because I don't want to be a crazy public person. I never wanted to be that as an actor. I didn't want to be a film person in a public spotlight. I wanted to be a geeky stage person. And the same way I sort of want to be just a geeky writer at home on her computer, but you can't be that really. It's really hard to be that nowadays. You really have to have an online presence and promote all of your work.
Well, you said you don't Google the people you date. Why is that?
Because I want to see the person in front of me first. And also, I feel like it's sort of a waste of time. Because, again, the more you know about somebody, the more you're projecting what you think they could be. And then you and I have talked so many times now about, you know, about getting disappointed by people, by what you put on them. And I feel like the more I know somebody, the more I'm going to either project, like, oh, I'm probably not going to like this person. Or, oh, my God, I'm really going to like this person. And it's going to affect who I'm expecting to meet versus just meeting somebody and having a conversation and letting them, whoever they are in the moment, you know, inform what I think of them.
Yeah. It's interesting the difference between like dating and basically any other avenue in life where like for dating, if you like, you know, find someone, Google someone or Facebook someone before you go out on a first date, like we like use the word stalking.
Right.
Whereas like if you're going on a job interview and like you do your research, that's like totally acceptable right. And you're doing your due diligence, doing your research. But like there's this like weird negative connotation about like doing research on someone who you're going to go out on a date with, which I think is strange.
And I don't think I don't think the other side is wrong by any means. It's not like I'm like, oh God, people Google. Like it's not. No, I mean, I get it for some people that you would want to do that. It's just that's not who I am, you know. All right. Well, we're going to bring in Leyte in a little bit to sort of talk about how being a very public person in the food world.
But you know what is cool to announce?
Yes.
We have a winner for our unrequited book challenge.
Who are they?
Well, it's just one winner.
Yes.
The lucky Sherry.
Yes, we already drew before the show.
Who we picked out of the hat, and we will contact you, Sherry, with your... with how we will, you know, we'll figure out how to get you the book.
Thank you so much for the people who tweeted and Facebooked.
For the rest of you... Sorry, but Sherry beat you.
Well, and we're going to do more book. I think by the end of the season, we might give away like a fantastic package of all the books that we've had on this season. I'm going to try to work
that out. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Also, send us your dating questions to lovebitesradio@gmail.com so we can bring back our early third segment that we had.
We haven't asked anybody for this in a long time.
When we were answering some listener-asked questions. So we will look forward to hearing some more of your questions. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Leyte Sue. So stick around.
Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market, America's healthiest grocery store with more than 400 locations throughout the United States. Download the Whole Foods Market app on your smartphone for recipes, sales, information, and digital coupons. Or visit WholeFoodsMarket.com to find a store closest to you.
Leyte Sue is a culinary connector, journalist, and advisor to big brands and small startups. In 2015, she co-founded Journey, where experts in food and travel share their own stories and curate unique travel experiences for guests. She's worked with clients including Twitter, Unilever, Cover, Soch, Plated, and Thrillist, and is the host of Word of Mouth here on Heritage Radio Network, talking love, fear, business, and pleasure with chefs and restaurateurs. Welcome to our show, Leyte Sue.
Hello.
Glad you're here. So we sort of jumped off the show with a quite perfect conversation to bring you in. So are you're single right now?
I'm single.
You're single right now.
You said that so like, you're not thrilled about that?
I'm, you know, it's one of those things where you're thrilled about how awesome your life is, but then you're not thrilled at how terrible it is to get to know people in the New York and actually worldwide dating scene.
Do you date people in other cities? Like, you travel a lot.
I have been open to dating people.
Do you have
in
like a man
cities.
In each city?
I thought about that. I thought, well, maybe I should do that. But, you know, recently I reunited with, you know, okay, by the way, P.S. Before you go on a dating show, you think, huh, am I still going to be lovable? Am I still going to be employable? But I want to give you guys all of it, all of it. So
bring it.
7 years ago, I was dancing tango in Buenos Aires. I met a Belgian.
I was doing that 7 years ago, weren't we all?
Just Belgian so ballet jealous. Dancer. And then, you know, because I posted this video of me eating durian on Facebook, and he thought it was funny, 7 years later, he was like, hi, hello. And he wrote me this big, long Facebook message like a letter, you know? And just to make a long story short, we reunited. He drove 9 hours from Paris to Berlin to come visit me. And then, you know, I really liked him, and then he fell off the face of the earth.
Oh no. What do you think happened to make him fall off the face of the earth?
Okay, so another really, I mean, not to get all like Death, Sex, Money. You guys listen to that show?
Of course.
Okay, so Death, Sex, Money, really good show. Okay, not to get all Death, Sex, Money on you, but lately I've been putting out, I think, a lot of empathetic energy, and it's been attracting widower-ish types.
Why do you think that is?
So, two examples. I think the reason why is, I don't know.
Was he somebody who needed a lot of sympathy?
Was he a widow?
Okay, so first off, I want to mention that my mother was diagnosed with cancer in 2014. Okay, so I've been thinking about death a lot. Cool. Silver lining is that you put up with less bullshit in your life, both personally and professionally. Awesome. Okay. He was dating a girl for a long time, and I think she had their baby in her stomach, and she died in a car accident 4 years ago.
Oh my God.
So, I know, and that was 4 years ago, and I'm saying this with just a lot of love, like, I'm putting out there a lot of love, because
horrible. You don't want somebody to live through that.
Together I realized I danced tango again, and I'm able to dance tango. You know, it was just like this thing where...
Wait, so you dated this person?
Well, I dated, I mean, I
went
had
a, you had like a whirlwind romance.
I had a whirlwind romance 7 years ago, and that's why I got to keep on putting out the video content, you guys, because how else am I going to hustle up lovers and admirers from 7 years ago?
So let's talk about that for a second. So your public persona as a food person sort of plays into your dating. You don't like when Ben and I were sort of split as far as like what you put out there. In the dating sphere, being a person who you are very Googleable, so you don't have any qualms about people finding out what you do and seeing who you are before they meet you in person.
I do not have qualms about it. I think, you know, I liked Ben's point. The thing is, I feel like I'm fairly real when I'm out there, and my work is my pleasure. My pleasure is my work. So I might have fibbed on, or like it might not be accurate. There might be an OkCupid question that asks you whether you Google people before you go on a date with them, and I'm not sure if that answer is accurate, but I do now increasingly Google the people, because time is our most valuable thing in this life, and it's become ever the more clear, and I don't have time for people who aren't awesome. And
it's also interesting, just another point on this, is that, like, it sounds like you were saying you kind of you bait people with your videos or, you know, whatever, perhaps. And just another point, perhaps, Jacqueline, that, like, maybe you and I are so honest, and there's so much, like, going on there with, like, us putting ourselves out there. Whereas, like, I feel like a lot of people, social media is, they craft their image on social media, and therefore, like, do want people to come to it. Would you say that's true for you, Leyte?
I think that I actually have more awesome and delicious things happen / I am working nonstop. You know, it's double-edged sword that my social media is crafted for it to be beautiful and delightful, not waste your time, but truly is just one snapshot of a life that I feel very fortunate to have. And so what makes it very difficult in the dating world is that if some do, like, so actually, question for you guys, What do you think about who picks the place?
Well, let me throw that question back on you. What do you think about who picks the place? Like, do you, if you've got a first date with a guy, do you suggest the place? Do you bring him to a work event, or do you let him take the reins with that?
Okay, so at first, I would always pick the place because I am me and I, like, you know, want my life to be awesome all the time, and often, like, I will know better because I do this for a living. Then I went into the whole, like, oh, the girl has to, like, take, you know, be the girl and let the guy feel like a man. So I did that whole thing, right? And now that time is even shorter because I'm running my travel company and I'm traveling all the time. So I don't really give a shit. Here's what happened last Friday. Okay. So I want to share this with you guys because I want to get your thoughts. Okay. Maybe I was being like...
Okay, go for it.
Extreme. On Valentine's Day, I was working nonstop, just on stuff I love, right? All above. And then I trolled OkCupid when I was taking breaks in between, like, writing and, you know, etc. and travel planning to jump on OkCupid because I figure on Valentine's Day, like, the guys on OkCupid or whatever other dating apps, the whole gamut. I have all of them. Don't try to suggest anything. Okay. They might actually be maybe potentially intentional. Maybe. Okay.
So you were looking for, like, a date for that night?
No, not that night. Oh, okay. Just, like, sort of that people who were on there on that very day, they might, I don't know, the universe might be more like, these are the intentional guys. Here you go. All for you. Okay. So I hustled up some new and interesting prospects because I'm actually, like, in town for a beat, right? And then so there was this one guy last Friday whom I had a date scheduled with, but then earlier in the night, and I'm pulling out my text messages because I want to, like, do this whole texting thing where you ask your friends, and I don't do that anymore, but since it's a dating show, I thought that might be fun.
You don't ask your friends anymore, but now you're about to ask the entire world.
Everybody. Okay. So this guy seems fairly nice, but then very quickly the conversation got very, like, passive aggressive, I believe.
I'm scared already.
Okay. So, and we haven't even met each other. So here's the thing. Here's my real life. I go to Hard. I go with a business colleague. Okay. We need to be there, but I'm also there because, you know, and the folks are, and I, you know them, right. Know them for a long time. The folks are friends and they invited me in and I'm like, okay, I do want to come in and try what you've been up to lately. Cause I haven't been back in a long time. I've not been in town. So then I go, I'm like, he suggests this place that's honestly fine and charming, but would be better in the daytime because it's really cute and Instagram photos. Okay. Don't hate me, you guys. I've been hanging out with a lot of Instagrammers. They're very good at what they do. Okay. So I'm like, well, what about Lilia? You know, because Missy Robbins just opened
new
up a place in Williamsburg.
Yeah. Very buzzy right
it's
now.
It's right next to my house. And her food is insanely delicious. I know her cooking and
I love her.
Like, it's new. And there
okay,
was.
So
like,
what did he say?
So he goes,
we're a short show.
So he goes, I go, hey, just wanted to say sorry again for the last minute change. Is it bother? Oh, no. He goes, sure, I guess I'll sit at home and wait for you to tell me when and where, or I'll just look up Lilla, and he misspells Lilia, and then let's do Lilia, 8 p.m. Lilla it is. Hey, just wanted to say sorry again for the last minute change. Is it bothering you? Couldn't tell from the tone of your last text. He goes, it happens. I go, chef sent out an unexpected extra course, looking like more like 8:30. Totally cool. If you need to reschedule, let me know. And he goes, I thought we were eating. Yeah, let's do another time. I didn't think we had downgraded to drinks.
All right.
I'm sort of so on this guy's side.
Ooh, okay.
Really?
Yeah, because...
You're flaking on him a little bit.
Yeah, because talking about... You said you don't like having your time wasted. You just wasted that guy's time. He thought you were going to meet up, and
no.
You were pushing, and he thought, you know, the location changed. And
no,
then,
so then I said...
Unless there's something I'm missing, which
I mean,
could be
if I were
cool.
Him, if I were him, I probably just would have said, actually, no, I'm good. Thanks.
And his message was aggressive, though. The whole, like, oh, I'll just stay home and wait.
Right.
It's
I just
the tone.
I would be like, hey, no worries, let's reschedule. And then I probably would never heard from me again.
Cool. Well,
or never texted again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think it's really just the tone.
His tone is definitely harsh.
Because the tone was already very negative, I wasn't really planning on, like, I actually just wanted to be straightforward and practice that whole thing.
Well, I have a question for you from this, because
it's
definitely...
super passive-aggressive.
It's a horrible dating conundrum. Like, we all do that to each other is the thing, so I don't blame you for that. We all definitely, like, our priorities change with dating, depending on what's going on with our work life. So as much as I jumped on that guy's side, I don't blame you, because I've definitely done that,
and
too.
I
and
often
I've had
do
that
two
done
dinners
to me.
A night. Of course.
But so where is dating on the priority list for you right now? Because you do travel a lot and you've got a really great job. Like, do you feel like you put aside time to meet someone, or would you sacrifice any bit of your time with what you get to do to make room for somebody?
I will answer that question just to say that maybe I'm a different person from when I was 25, both personally and professionally, and that I, you know, online dating is like very, very time consuming.
Oh, God,
and maybe
yeah.
I used to go on multiple dates a week, but I no longer have time for that. So I am actually sort of stuck in this middle, like this little, like, yeah, this like purgatory yeah. between, because I can't.
Yeah, it's hard. We talked about our Lady Writer show, sort of a similar thing of like, oh, when your life and your career is that awesome, why would you want to go on another crappy date? Like when you could be having a great night at Batard, why would you want to leave early to meet a guy you're
yes.
probably just not going to click with?
Particularly, truly, I know that I'm not completely in the clear, but the tone was just already,
was
you know,
yeah.
pre, it's just like, that's the kind of attitude, you know, that will never work out.
Did you think you would have liked this guy before that text exchange? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. That's so nothing before then had
yeah.
given you an idea that he was going to, guys get turned so aggressive. Very, no, I'm not, I won't say guys. Some guys turn so aggressive.
Women do too.
Very, it's true. But I'm like, I'm always more afraid to send the message that will prompt a guy turning aggressive and cranky.
And not to be like overly like bigger picture about it, but I think, you know, the more I read like the news in general, the more that like the way that men are in personal relationships like reflects the news in general. That is just, you know, that
really?
It's just, that's just, you know what I mean? Like yeah. Trump isms and it's just,
we could do a whole show on
I wasn't,
Trump. We
I wasn't
do
impolite.
A show.
I just
right.
was myself, you know,
yeah.
myself was. That Lilia yeah. is really fun.
Yeah. It's such a hard, there's so many ways of navigating between texting and online messaging and actually talking and meeting a person. I feel like you never, you, how many
I feel
people
like
do you actually
just need
meet
to
in real
meet,
life?
Like way, really fast.
Yes.
You know, because
yeah.
otherwise there's just so much opportunity for things to get misconstrued through messaging and through talking and over talking and over analyzing and blah, 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 blah.
Agreed.
And it's just like, you just gotta like, if there's a little bit of interest, you just meet, you can tell so much more from the first 2 minutes of meeting.
Of course,
than
somebody
you
walks
can.
In.
Yeah.
yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm interested or I'm not. Or at least
Completely.
For me, I feel like I can tell.
Completely.
Oh my God. I have two things for you on that, which is, what if I'm going to Miami on Thursday and then Paris and then Austin, I'm not back until mid-March. Boom. And then,
well, what about that?
Well,
yeah, like how do
well,
you
why
do-
are you trying to set up, why are you trying to talk with me anyway then?
Because I am
be cool
actually a
that.
Hopeless romantic and I will keep trying, but I don't have time for it. But this part's even better, which is that then this morning, this fellow tags me on Instagram with a comment, you know, with my handle for this one thing, this like thing with the words on Instagram.
Right.
Being
the little closed paper put up.
A man is mainly just suggesting places to eat and then going where the girl wants to go anyway.
I do not feel that way at all.
Oh, thank you.
In fact,
yeah, I
always
like
suggest the place and we go where I suggest.
And it's funny because I'm a food writer, I like the guy to suggest that. I might like,
I totally
amend it and be like, well, that's cool, but what, you know, what? I also have the weird food things. But I think I let a guy pick. I'm going to a date to a diner after this, and I think that's a great
idea. In fact, I get a little, I like to, you know, let the other person choose from time, like whenever they want, if they
right.
want to choose. But if I choose somewhere, like I have an idea and I want to go somewhere, like I get annoyed when they're like too picky about that not being the right spot for them.
Oh, I get
whatever.
Annoyed when people are like, man, I don't care. I don't know. What do you want to end or no?
Oh, absolutely.
I find indecision or indifference a lot more annoying than people being too picky. At least if you're picky.
Well, picky only if I chose and then you were like, okay. And then it's like, oh, well, no, maybe not. Well, it's just like, just. Can you just go there and enjoy it and then, or at least pretend to enjoy it, and then we'll go to the place you want the next
right.
time?
Well, I have one quick question before we switch to our favorite things of the week. So, talking about meeting people in real life, do you date people in the industry? Do you date chefs, restaurateurs?
I used to, and then not anymore unless it's like really, like we've gotten to know each other and it's something that's like,
it
might be a real thing. Like, no, fireworks are always like, you know, there's fireworks. But
no,
unless there's actually
yeah, like daily fireworks.
There's intention. Always fireworks.
There's
like,
always
I mean, like,
fireworks.
I have like fireworks with guys like five times a day.
Yeah. I have, like, we're having having fireworks right now. Can't you guys feel this in the room?
We're all going to make out after the show, guys. I'm sorry if you're listening to this.
I'm very excited about this.
It's getting nice and toasty. Oh, David in the booth is like, yep, it is. It's happening. It's happening. Well, let's do our final segment before we got to take off. So before we close the show, let's each share something that we read, ate, drank, saw, listened to, watched this week, either in the love or the food worlds. So our listeners can grab it. Benny, look like you want to maybe start?
I'll start us off, but I have to admit that I was not in New York over the weekend. I was in Boston. But I will recommend a place for our Boston listeners. I had an amazing brunch at a place called Clink, which is a restaurant in the Liberty Hotel. And the highlight was the Bloody Mary, make your own Bloody Mary bar.
I love that. Valencia, Norwalk, Connecticut has that too. It's a really good Bloody Mary bar.
It was incredible. My Bloody Mary had in it vodka, their house Bloody Mary mix, olives, pickles, pepper jack cheese.
Oh, God, sorry.
Pepperoni.
I don't like cheese. Pepperoni, that sounds good.
Bacon salt.
Wait, was it celery? Was it, what kind of pickles were there? Was it cucumber pickles, like a regular pickle? Okay.
And sriracha sauce, Jamaican jerk, hot sauce, and extra horseradish.
Mmm.
Benny looks really turned on right now. Listeners. You can't see the smile on his face.
I am more turned on by the Bloody Mary that I drank
He's looking glassy-eyed and in love
Yesterday it was, than I have been by pretty much like anything.
Was it called again? Clink?
Clink.
In Boston.
Yes. In the Liberty Hotel, which is a very cool hotel that is used to be an old prison that got turned into a hotel, so the whole thing is kind of like prison themed, but it's like very
haunted?
Cannibalistic murderers. Yeah, it's really...
All right, Boston listeners, let us know.
Yeah, go check it out.
Fun, cool.
How about you, Leyte?
I have a bite that flows into a long read.
Okay.
I went to Llama Inn, the Peruvian place that just opened up in Williamsburg.
Eric Ramirez, yeah.
And then by the way, I will say that this is an objective bite because I did not realize that I knew the owner, Brendan, until I tried to get a reservation and I was like, oh, hey, hi, I know you. Like, he's like, why don't you call the man? So
what was the bite?
The bite is Lomo. By the way, it just makes me very happy because I want to tell you something. He used to have the restaurant called Vendog, and then he did something in the Museum of Sex. So I like to joke that he goes from Dutch to sex to Peruvian. So he's one of the most cutting edge guys out there. Okay.
Well, Eric Ramirez is a Peruvian chef who was in Manhattan before, and Llama Inn is. He's really excelling at Llama Inn.
He's incredible.
And the decor is gorgeous. It is such a beautifully designed restaurant.
So Chef Eric's... the lomo saltado, which is like chunks of delicious, well-seasoned meat with a whole pile of gooey, squishy French fries on top with like all this sauce on it and then accoutrement on the side and then like these like Chinese-ish scallion pancakes is like this Chinese
crazy
Peruvian
corn
thing.
Nut things that they make too, those corn nut things.
I didn't have the corn nuts.
Oh my god,
things.
Those corn, I'm gonna have to ask
crunchy
Eric
corn
what those
nuts?
Are again. They're like, yeah, they're like crunched up crunchy corn nuts. They're
like
so
large
good.
Corn nut, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So good.
So that was delicious. And then I was dining with Jay Cheshis, who's a really incredible writer for Wall Street Journal magazine and other places, and there is a article he just wrote about how one tweet may have almost changed the Cuban dining world, which is that one tweet started the whole Anthony Aduriz and
what was the piece?
It was it was about how Enrique Olvera tweeted at Anthony, and then who's the chef who was in Chef's Table from Italy? I'm like completely blanking on his name.
Massimo.
Yeah, Massimo joined in on that, and then the three chefs landed in Cuba with zero plan to research a restaurant.
That's
that
so
they
sexy.
Challenge
They're
each other
so
to have, which
so
is
where was the piece?
Kind
where can
of amazing.
People read the piece?
Wall Street Journal magazine. Jay Cheshis. Very very fun piece.
And he's an amazing writer.
All right, Jacqueline, you hit us up with your.
So mine is something different. It's a show Love on Netflix where
I keep hearing that that's really
I
really
watched
great.
3.5 episodes, and there's a lot of critiques that it's really slow. That for another show, the entire first season would have been wrapped up in the first episode, and that like not a lot happens.
I really like it. I don't find it slow at all. It's two characters who are very flawed. You get two sides of them. It's really,
and it's about their relationship.
Well, I mean, I'm not even at the point of their relationship. By the end of the third episode, they like finally, like, she kisses him, but like there's a lot. It takes a long time. But it's Judd Apatow produces it. The writers are, Paul Rust and Leslie Arfin. They're a married couple, and it stars Jillian Jacobs, and she's incredible in it. I really like it. That people are like, oh, it's too slow. Nothing
happens. Is it like
happens.
A Judd Apatow movie?
It's a little bit more subtle, I think. And part of, and I love Judd Apatow's comedy, but I find his female characters often a little flat. I think he's gotten better at that over the years. And I think that in this so far, I'm really loving Jillian Jacobs' character. She's a recovering alcoholic who's sort of a mess. This kid, like, it's like, oh, she's so cool and troubled, and he's so sweet. And yeah, but it's not stereotypical. It's not playing for cheap laughs. It's not playing for drama, like, girl, you know, it's being compared to Girls a lot.
Is it a Netflix original show?
Netflix original. It just dropped, I think, on the 19th or 20th or 21st. And, you know, the whole idea of, like, oh, it's not so plot building, and, you know, I can't tell if I like these characters. It's like, fuck off. You don't have to like everything about every character. I feel like it gives you, about all the characters across the board that have been presented so far, you hate things about them and you love things about them. They're dynamic. We are dynamic people. Like, you don't have to like everybody, and you don't have to have a producer or a writer tell you which character you're supposed to like. You know,
so these, in fact, it's much more interesting when you don't know, or when you get to choose, or where there's different
opinions. Like, formulate your own opinion, people. So all the critiques about it's like, oh, it's slow, and I don't know if I like these guys, and this and that, and like, to me, I just really like, especially as a writer, observing human nature and the dynamics of everyday life and the choices that we make. And so for me, this show, it's not, you know, again, it's compared to Girls, I think it's not as far at all as dramatic and as showy as Girls. I think these are 30-something people in L.A. L.A. is very much a character in it, in the way that New York is a character for Girls and Sex and the City and things like that. I'm only 3 episodes in, but I really like it. I find it interesting and relaxing to watch without being obnoxious or telling me that I should be laughing.
Is it the type of show that you think men will enjoy as much as women?
I think so. I had not thought about that before. I mean, why don't you watch a couple and then maybe report back next week and see if you're digging it.
All right, good.
Yeah.
I will.
Okay, cool. Well, Lacey,
I'm
going to
slam it.
You're going to hate it. I think you'll like it. I think it's a really good character study and just how people function. Lacey, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much
for
having me.
We're so glad that you were here.
You brought the fireworks. I mean,
I'm going to have that fireworks song stuck in my head. Who sings that? You're a firework.
I'll put out there, you guys, if you two happen to know any straight but could be gay, hilarious, loves food and drink, men in your life.
Straight but could be gay? What do you mean by that?
Just very
effeminate men?
No, Metro. Expressive, secure, expressive, secure.
You want to date them or you want to have them on your show?
Oh, I want to date them.
Okay, good. All right, people. We've made a call out for Lacey. Expressive gentlemen who are secure in what they do.
Tweet at us if you want to
find, you can tweet at us at Love Bites Radio, or you can find Lacey on Twitter and Instagram as Lacey Sue. That's L-E-I-T-I-H-S-U. You can find her show, her heritage show, Word of Mouth, on Instagram as Word of Mouth, or tweet using the hashtag WOMNOMS, Word of Mouth Noms. And you can check out her company Journey at www.gojourney.com. That's Journey with no E. And all of this information is soon to be on our website. Thank you so much for coming on to the show, Lacey.
Woohoo!
That is our show for today. Check out lovebitesradio.com. We have just updated all of our upcoming and past guests, and we're still working on that, so you can find everything about our upcoming season on there. Lovebitesradio.com. Thanks to our new engineer, David. Hi, David.
Hi, David.
We have lost Liz, but we've gained a David, and we love him already so far. He's drinking our champagne with us. So
no, I'm not.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Sorry. Sorry. No, he's not. Heritage people. He's not at all. So thank you, David, and to our sponsor, Whole Foods. Our theme song is You Better You Bet, covered by Robbie Gill, and we are Jacqueline Raposo and Ben Rosenblatt. We'll be back at the same time next week here at heritageradionetwork.org.
Later.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.